السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ.
عبد الرحمن، كيف الحال؟
الحمد لله يا شيخ.
إن الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا مالنا، إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، Our book is Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari Rahimahullah Muhammad ibn Ismail Abu Abdullah. We have explained repeatedly why this book was named Al-Adab Al-Mufrad. It's a book specifically compiled about the manners of a Muslim and conduct. After discussing how the individual should conduct himself in his personal affairs and his dealings with the people, Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah came to the issues regarding dealings with Allah. Most times we don't even pay attention to the way we relate with people. We must find the proper, appropriate way to relate with Allah. And that is ensuring that our acts of worship are proper and appropriate. They will be proper when they are followed with Islam, when we make those deeds for Allah alone. Because when the deed is not for Allah alone, it is not proper. And then it will be appropriate when in line with the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, peace salatu wasalam. So if we say from the things of in mannerly and in proper conduct with Allah are the issues of dua and azkar, we must follow these two things in them. Our dua must be for Allah alone, not to be seen, not for show off, not for popularity seeking. It must be for Allah alone. That is when our worship is proper, and then they will be appropriate when we follow the lines of conduct of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in them. At that, we will be conducting ourselves properly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this chapter, Babu Da'awati Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Al-Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, in the first chapter about Da'awati Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he mentioned 23 ahadith, each of them telling us the various expressions that the Prophet would use in his dua. In the second compilation where we are in now, Al-Imam al-Bukhari mentioned about 12 to 13 ahadith. So in these two chapters alone, we have about 40 various expressions of dua. So you are in Tawaf, you are in Sa'yu, you are in Arafah, you are in Muzdalifah, you are in Medina, you are at home, you wake up in the middle of the night, you always have something to say. Not just saying it in the way the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us to beg Allah. I always, and I repeat, this is a major lesson that there is nobody who needs to start running after one shehu shehu. You have enough of dua, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as long as you are not lazy. And laziness, asking Allah's protection from laziness, at least the other to min al itself, is from the dua of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yesterday, we came across two reports. The first of them, report of Aisha, radiallahu anha, Ummul Mu'minin, Ummu Abdillah, when she said, Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Iza kharaja min al-khala, qala gufranak. Whenever the Prophet came out sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the mirhad, Arabs also refer to the khala as mirhad. In fact, these days, that is one of its most common name, mirhad, the place where we go to defecate or urinate. They also refer to it as kanif, the place where we go to urinate or defecate. They have various names they refer to it here, called al-khala. And al-khala literally refers to the wilderness, open ground, far away from people, where the people used to go and defecate. So when they began to build toilets around the home, that place also became called by the same name. Otherwise, literally, khala means open ground, bayda, open place, wilderness, where people go to defecate. So whenever the Prophet said that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will say gufranak, meaning your forgiveness, O Allah. I ask forgiveness, O Allah, gufranak. Don't ask whether it is twice or thrice. If it were twice, Aisha will tell us, radiallahu anha. If it were thrice, she would have reported it, radiallahu anha. The one who was observing the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she did not say the Prophet say, you should say. She was observing him, radiallahu anha, to note that this is what he says. If it were that he had said it more than once, she would have said, he said it twice. He said it thrice. Meaning that what is lawful in this act of worship is that when we defecate, and defecating is a big favor from Allah, and urinating is a big favor from Allah. So when we enjoy that favor, we come out of the place to say, Allah, forgive me. Gufranak. Your forgiveness, O Allah, gufranak, your forgiveness, O Allah. We also read Hadith 694, which happened to be from the Hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma. Those are Hadith, as we said yesterday, they followed themselves. The Hadith of Anas, the Hadith of Aisha, the Hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anha, young men and women that were taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The one who conveyed the knowledge for the least time was Aisha. She died, radiallahu anha, when she was 68 years old, radiallahu anha. The Prophet died when she was 18 years old, sallallahu alaihi. I mean, she taught in this ummah for 50 years. Half of a century. You see how the Prophet invested. Some of the Prophet married a young girl. This is the wisdom behind it. The young girl conveyed private matter inside the house. Who would have done that if not a young girl paying attention to her husband? Radiallahu anha. And he showed her a lot of love so that it will be easy for her to learn from him what to teach the ummah about the private matters inside the house. Other companions would not have access to that. Radiallahu anha. This is why I usually tell brothers, if you want to marry more than one wife, let there be a reason, let there be a hikmah, let there be something you want to benefit from that. Not many people are blind to these matters. The Prophet married Aisha for big reasons. This is just one of them that we know. She conveyed his message for 50 years, half of a century. Radiallahu anha. Go back and read the students of Aisha. She had over 300 students. Most of the companions were part of her students. Someone had asked me, how come Abu Huraira took reports from Aisha? How come Abdullah ibn Umar took reports from Aisha? said they were not there on many things that her and the prophet. She was the one who would say, this was how the prophet did so. The prophet used to do it like this. He would do it like this. That's why the companions, radiallahu anhu, if they found any problem with the matters of knowledge, requiring to know what was the guidance of the prophet regarding it, who did they resort to? They came to meet Aisha, radiallahu anhu. That was a young girl married to a learned man. It was a means of benefit for the entirety of the ummah. And it showed that the prophet paid attention to young people. The young person whose hadith we just read was Anas. Anas said, radiallahu anha, as we read in class yesterday, إِذَا أَرَادَ أَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْخَلَىٰ. He was telling us what the prophet would do when he went into the toilet. He would say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubthi wal-khaba'ith. And then yesterday we came to the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, another young boy. Ibn Abbas was just 13 when the prophet died. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He came to say that Kana Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yu'allimuna hadha dua kama yu'allimuna surata min al-Qur'an. This dua that I want to tell you now, the prophet repeatedly taught us those supplications, just as if he would teach us the Quran, meaning that stick to these things, don't leave it, O young boy. Radiallahu anhu. And Abdullah ibn Abbas, when the prophet died, alayhi salatu wasalam, he was just 13. He lived for over 80 years. Remove 13 from 80. How many years did he convey that message? Radiallahu anhu. And that's why learned people pay attention to young people. They will convey your message. When you pay attention to young people. Anas ibn Malik was 10 when he came to the house of the prophet as a servant young boy to the prophet alayhi salam. His mother Ummu Sulaym brought him, Anas, go and run the errands for the prophet alayhi salam. Even Yorubas believe that children who run errands, really more sensible than children who don't run errands. Children who run errands are usually more sensible than children who don't run errands. Because for every errand, that elder person will teach the boy, handle it like this, do it like this, don't go there, come here, oh yeah, go, come back. What was it? He wants to be sure that the errand was properly delivered. Did you not see that one day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had sent Anas on a message? And as a young boy, he became distracted and was playing on the way. The mother came to him and said, hey, where are you going? So the Prophet sent me on an errand to deliver a message. So what did he send you? Say, ah, mommy, I can't tell you the secret of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How was that young boy, who at that age knew that the prophet had a message? Oh, mommy, it's a private message of the prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, and I cannot divulge his secrets. The day this hadith was revealed, the students of Anas were asking Anas, can you now tell us? He said, if I did not tell my mother, I cannot tell you. Radiallahu anhu. Look at young boys, young people that the prophet invested time and energy in. Look at Anas, look at Aisha, and now Abdullah ibn Abbas. As for Anas, when the prophet died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was just 20 years old. He was with the prophet from age 10 to age 20. Radiallahu anhu. His mother invested, women, your role again. Women, your role. The same thing happened to Abdullah ibn Abbas. This hadith we are studying today, hadith 695, it was said that it was Lubabah bintul Haris, the mother of Ibn Abbas, that sent Ibn Abbas to the house of the prophet, go and stay in the house of the prophet overnight, study how he conducts his night. And Ibn Abbas did it intelligently. If you come to this hadith 695, we are reading, come back to the hadith. Ibn Abbas said, radiallahu anhu, when the prophet woke up in the middle of the night, we are coming back to that hadith, He woke up, he washed his hands and his face, and then he observed two quick units of prayer. He said, Radiallahu anhuma, I stayed calm on the bed because I don't want him to know that I was watching him. He described the entire night of the Prophet Muhammad. In a report, it was said that it was his father who sent him. In another report, it was said that it was a discussion between his father and his mother, but the instructions came from the father, Oya, go and stay with the Prophet Muhammad. Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma. So for over 65 to 70 years, this message that he taught. We will see the points of benefit in this hadith. Some of the scholars have brought up to 50 points of benefit from this hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas that we'll be reading today, radiallahu anhu. So, Ikhwa, pay attention to young people. They will convey the message. Aisha was young, Anas was young, Abdullah ibn Abbas was young. You will remember in one of those dealings between Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, and the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, referring to Ibn Abbas, Ya Ghulam, inni u'allimuka kalimat. O young boy, let me teach you some words. Let me teach you some expressions. The first one was what? Ihfazillah yahfazuk. Preserve the rights of Allah, Allah will protect you. Young boy, when the Prophet died, the boy was 13. Look at what the Prophet was telling this young boy. Ihfazillah yahfazuk. Preserve the rights of Allah, Allah will protect you. Ihfazillah tajidhu tujahak. Wa idha sa'alta fas'alillah. Wa idha sta'anta fasta'in billah. Wa alam anna al-ummata law ijtama'u ala a'uka bishay'in. La yanfa'uka illa bishay'in. Look at these messages. We all know this hadith, part of Al-Arba'un of Al-Imam al-Nawawi. That was one of the learning engagements between the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abdullah ibn Abbas. That young boy became the scholar in the Ummah for over 60 years. If you want your message to be conveyed, pay attention to young people. They will convey the message. And that's why those who are destroying the world too, their attention is to the youth. When Nepal was brought down on its knees, who were used? Young people. When it was Tanzania, who was used? Young people. When it was MSAS, who were used? Young people. And that's why each time you see turmoil, you see young people there. Because they have the energy that the old people don't have. And they take things, they consume the ideas. So what if those ideas are these kinds of ideas you hear from the Prophet Ibn Abbas, alayhi salam. Ihfazillah. Ya gulam, ihfazillah. Yahfaz. So Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, he benefited a lot from his being with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith that we read yesterday, he said, Kana al-Nabiyu sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Yu'allimuna hadha dua, kama yu'allimuna surata min al-Qur'an. This dua that I want to say, the Prophet used to teach us as he will teach us the Qur'an. What does that mean? The Prophet taught him the Qur'an, radiallahu anhuma, and others apart from the Qur'an. But this one was so repeatedly taught that, as if it's like Qur'an, why pay attention to it? He mentioned five things, radiallahu anhuma. The first of them, a'udhu bika min adhabi jahannam. Ikhwa, let us be asking for this dua at all times. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhabi jahannam. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that each time we say that, Jahannam too will say, I don't want you. Hadith is authentic from hadith of Al-Imam Ahmad in his Musnad and Al-Imam Al-Tawrani in his Mu'jam. If you say, oh Allah, protect me from Jahannam. Jahannam too will say, you too, I don't want you. May Allah grant us protection from Jahannam. The second one we should say repeatedly, wa'udhu bika min adhab al-qabr, the punishment of the graves. No father, no mother, no wife, no girl, no sister, nobody, no servant, no driver, nobody in the grave. The individual will be alone. He deserves to be praying for that period and moment in our existence. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhab al-qabr. The third one, wa'a'udhu bika min fitnati al-masih al-dajjal. Ikhwa, I usually believe that all of these distractions the world is gradually getting into, and the fears we have seen by ourselves that, trouble is coming. I think they are from the muqaddimat of dajjal. Muqaddima. Faqat. So if the muqaddima is already threatening, how would the actual message be? We are saying Gen Z, Gen X, Gen whatever. Is Gen. The situation is getting worse with many people, even though we have the hope that Allah, by His power and mercy, will still keep the people firm. Some people will still remain firm upon goodness. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us that لا تزال طائفة في أمتي, some people in my ummah will continue to be upon khair. لا يدرهم من خالفهم, it would not matter who is not conforming with them. It does not matter who is opposing them. They will be upon khair. They will be upon siratun mustaqim. So we hope to be in this. But the issue is, how about others? How about your children? How about your wives? How about your husband? How about your mother? How about your father? How about your colleagues? How about your neighbors? Will they not fall prey to these fitna we are already seeing? So one of the ways to gain protection from that fitna is this dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min fitnati al-masih al-dajjal. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min fitnati al-masih al-dajjal. They say there is someone who wants to be a president, he can't control his children. Leave those ones aside. Who is it that is in absolute control of children today? You hear a lot of people, one boy became a gay, one boy became a lesbian, these kinds of information are common now. So regularly, parents especially, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min fitnati al-masih al-dajjal. Those are from the fitan of Dajjal in their muqaddima. And then he will also say, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa a'udhu bika min fitnatil mahya wal mamat. I also ask your protection away from the trials of existence. There are a lot of trials in existence. One of them is sickness. The individual from day one is sick. He's ill from one hospital to the other. I know somebody like that who just passed away. She's the sister, she's a cousin to one of my families. That sister, at age 32, you think she's 16 years old. If you see her hand, everywhere is needle. Because she has either blood transfusion or water, this, that. From one hospital, I don't think she stayed for 3 months without being in a hospital. Till she died. She died at age 32 or 33. This is fitnatul hayat, from the trials of existence. For some people, it's a troublesome wife. You will see that this thing is a fitna. For some people, it is the other way around. A troublesome husband. It will be clear that this man is a fitna. So we need to be begging Allah. If the person is in it again, the fitna will come down. But if you are in it, no begging Allah for relief. How is that? In fact, if your dua is well answered, Allah can remove you from under that fitna. He will separate between you and the fitna, and the means to it. We should always be saying, A'udhu bika min fitnatil mahya wal mamat. O Allah, I ask your refuge from the trials of life. And the trials of life are many. Sometimes it is abject poverty. Difficulty to find something to eat and drink. Difficult. The man is suffering day and night. Yet eating and drinking becomes very difficult. May Allah protect all of us. Our brothers who may be in this condition, may Allah grant them succor, help them, provide them for them, make ease for them. Sometimes, ikhwa, it is the problem of even getting a wife to marry. I know a brother has been running about looking for a woman to marry. It's either he does not like the woman, or women are not accepting his proposal. He's running about. Sometimes it is the other way around for a woman. She has every good quality. She can't understand why men can't like to marry her. It's fitna of life, the trials in existence. Some people, they are married, they are okay. Reproductive organ, reproductive biology is okay. Reproductive anatomy is fine, but they can't even have children. These are big trials, big trials, big. Some have one. One day, a woman called and said, when they gave birth to her second child or something like that, the womb was removed because she was bleeding. It was done in the UK, not in Nigeria. So I don't say it was because of Nigeria and there is no medical practice in the UK. The womb was removed, but she wants children. How do I get children? She's asking me. I say, I don't know. If a woman does not have a womb, how does she get a child? So it is paining her that she can't get more than just two. I want more. So I encourage her, hey, look, train these two you have very well. Let them be good people of Iman. So that good people of Iman will run after them. Do you have a girl among them? Say, you have boys good. Train the boys to grow up as good people of Iman to quickly get married. They will give back to children for you. You'll be taken care of. The same thing your daughters. Train them to be people of good Iman. They will grow up, have good husbands. They have children for you. You take care of them. That will relieve or reduce your worry over children. I am just trying to say that the trials of life are many. And for different persons in different forms. For different persons in different forms. So regularly, ikhwa, we don't have anybody to run to except Allah. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhabi jahannam. Wa a'udhu bika min adhabi al-qabri. Wa a'udhu bika min fitnati al-masih al-dajjal. Wa a'udhu bika min fitnati al-mahya wal-mamat. Fitna of mamat. The trials that comes to a man at the time of death. The man has been upon Iman. He fell ill. Some people suggested to him, just tie this thing to your bed. Just put this thing under your bed. He takes it and he dies upon kufur like that. Fitna at the end of life. How many people have been good Muslims? I know somebody. She was a friend to my mother. She's still alive till now, but very old. She used to say she came for Umrah in Ramadan 17 times consecutively. But she had a son who was a pastor. The son converted her to a Christian, redeemed. So she boasts amongst redeemed that, hey, look me, I've gone to Umrah 17 times in Ramadan. May Allah protect us. This is fitna of mamat. She's still upon redeem now. Got her to die. I hope she has not even, she might have even died now because it's been a long time. May Allah protect us. So these are fitan, big trials. And the issue is these things, the only way out is to run to Allah. Allah protect me. No anybody can guarantee the next person. Allah protect me. This is the lesson the Prophet was teaching Ibn Abbas. يُعَلِّمُهُمْ كَمَا يُعَلِّمُهُمُ السُّورَةَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. The Prophet was teaching this young man this kind of dua, the way he would teach them the Quran. Don't forget the lesson there. Elders, learned people, pay attention to young people. Very important. That is Hadith 694 that we studied yesterday. In Hadith 695, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Haddathana Ali ibn Abdullah, Qala Haddathana ibn Mahdi, عن سفيان عن سلمة ابن كهيل عن كريب عن ابن عباس قال: بت عند ميمونة. فقام النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فأتى حاجته فغسل وجهه ويديه ثم نام، ثم قام فأتى الكرب فأطلق شناقها، ثم توضأ وضوءا بين وضوئين لم يكثر وقد أبلغ، فصلى. فقمت فتمطيت كراهية أن يرى أني كنت أتقيه، فتوضأت فقام يصلي، فقمت عند يساره فأخذ بأذني فأدارني عن يمينه، فتتامت صلاته من الليل 13 ركعة، ثم اضطجع فنام حتى نفخ، وكان إذا نام نفخ، فآذنه بلال بالصلاة فصلى ولم يتوضأ، وكان في دعائه: اللهم اجعل في قلبي نورا وفي سمعي نورا وعن يميني نورا وعن يساري نورا وفوقي نورا وتحتي نورا وأمامي نورا وخلفي نورا وأعظم لي نورا. قال كريب: وسبعا في التابوت، فلقيت رجلا من ولد العباس فحدثني بهن، فذكر عصبي ولحمي ودمي وشعري وبشري، وذكر خصلتين. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله has reported this hadith with one of the best isnad that which it has come with, and from one of the best of his teachers, Al-Imam Ali ibn Abdullah Al-Madini. He is properly, generally, widely known as Al-Imam Ali ibn Al-Madini. Al-Imam al-Bukhari was so learned that when he sat in front of the scholars, he took what he did not know from them. Or he said, as for Ali ibn al-Madini, مَسْتَصْغَرْتُ نَفْسِي عِنْدَ أَحَدْ. Bukhari said, rahimahullah, I did not use to make myself small, humble myself, jejeli, in front of anyone, إِلَّا عِنْدَ Ali ibn al-Madini, except when I sit with Ali ibn al-Madini. When I sit with Ali ibn al-Madini, calmly, I humble myself completely and absolutely. Because Ali ibn al-Madini was very knowledgeable. He was in the status of Al-Imam Ahmad and Yahya ibn Ma'in. The three of them used to go together. The scholars who stay as far as Ilal al-Hadith is concerned, Ali ibn al-Madini was more knowledgeable than Ahmad ibn Hanbal. And as far as Ilm al-Rijal is concerned, Al-Jarh wa al-Ta'dil, Yahya ibn Ma'in was the one amongst the three who was more knowledgeable. But as far as fiqh was concerned, it was Ahmad ibn Hanbal. And he comes, so he is the head of the three. Rahimahumullah. So Ali ibn al-Madini was a very learned from the scholars of hadith. He is the sheikh of Al-Imam al-Bukhari in this isnad regarding this hadith. He said, Haddathana ibn Mahdi. That is Al-Imam Abdul Rahman ibn Mahdi. Ibn Mahdi, in this isnad, he is Abdul Rahman ibn Mahdi. In the tabaqa of Ibn Mahdi, because Ibn Mahdi was from the teachers of Al-Imam Ahmad, and these three that we mentioned, they are their own teachers. Above them, above Ali, Yahya, and Ahmad, were the likes of Ibn Mahdi and الإمام أبو زكريا رحمه الله. So these were these teachers of the likes of Ahmad and Ali ibn al-Madini رحمهم الله. So he said, and Sufyan, he is reporting from Imam Sufyan al-Thawri رحمه الله. Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, they were in the status of the likes of Malik رحمهم الله. Sufyan al-Thawri was very knowledgeable, Ibn Sa'id al-Thawri. Very knowledgeable, one of the first persons to be called Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sufyan al-Thawri. Very knowledgeable, the scholars of Hadith and Sunnah. Ikhwa, there is one lesson here. You would not find a person who was adjudged very learned, except that he took that knowledge from somewhere. Knowledge is ever learned. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, al-ilmu bita'allumi. Knowledge is acquired by learning it. You learn knowledge. But these days, many of the people sit down just on the computers. Learn knowledge. Look for a teacher to teach you. If it is on the internet too, you sat down. Let it be that you are learning from a teacher. Don't let ChatGPT be your teacher. And that ChatGPT is the teacher of many of the people today is from the science of the last hour. Al-Imam Muslim in the Muqaddim, at the beginning of Sahih Muslim, he told us a hadith from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, Sayati ala nasi zaman. A time shall come on the people. Somebody will be teaching them. When they go away, they say, hey, who was that, your sheikh? Say, we don't even know his name. So what is the name of ChatGPT? Here we say Al-Bukhari took from Ali ibn al-Madini. And ChatGPT, fortunately, has been telling all of you, taking him as your sheikh, that he is not a human being. So why do you go to rely on ChatGPT as your own teacher? The Prophet had a teacher, alayhi salatu wasalam, Jibreel. He would descend to teach the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. Many times in the Quran, in Surah Taha, Jibreel was telling the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, La tuharrik inna al-qiyamah. La tuharrik bihi lisanaka li ta'ajala bi. Muhammad, when I read to you, don't be in haste. In Taha, it says, Wa la ta'ajal bil Quran min qabli an yuqda ilayka wahyu. Don't be in haste when Jibreel reads to you. So if it is ChatGPT, he will not give you the adab of knowledge. And ChatGPT will only tell you what it finds on the internet. That's why you may want to know about Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. The man will tell you nonsense, what the Shia is saying, because it has no knowledge of its own. What it takes for knowledge is the input, what everybody has written regarding what you are asking about. It will process it according to how he has found you and give you that information. So, Ikhwa, look for human beings, people who have iman. ChatGPT does not have iman. ChatGPT does not have iman. So, ChatGPT can be a sheikh. The mashayikh are people, human beings, they have iman. Trustworthiness in terms of knowledge comes from two angles. The first of them is adala, the deen of the individual. Does ChatGPT have deen? ChatGPT does not tell lies. It does not deceive. It does not betray. So it does not have iman. ChatGPT should not be your sheikh. Here Al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Haddathana Aliyu ibn Abdullah al-Madin. He said, Qala Haddathana ibn Mahdi Abdul Rahman. He said, An Sufyan. These are mashayikh, sheikh from sheikh. He said, An Salamata ibn Kuhayl. Salama ibn Kuhayl was very, very knowledgeable. His students, Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, he will say, Kana min al-Arkan. When Salama ibn Kuhayl, his student Sufyan al-Thawri spoke about him, C'est ce qu'on a mené à c'est Pila. Pila of knowledge, Salama. Ibn Kuhail, Abu Yahya, Rahimahullah. He reports this hadith from Kuraib, Mullah Abdullah ibn Abbas. Kuraib was a freed slave of Abdullah ibn Abbas. And Kuraib is reporting from Abdullah ibn Abbas. Radiallahu anhumah. Look at this isnad. Kashams. It's like sun, bright, full of a'imma. Ikhwa, that is how knowledge is. The same thing the way Bukhari took from Ali ibn al-Madini. Ali took from, rahimahullah, Abdurrahman ibn Mahdi. Abdurrahman ibn Mahdi took it from his sheikh, Sufyan al-Thawri. Sufyan al-Thawri took it from Salama ibn Kuhayli. Salama took from Kuraib Mula ibn Abbas. Type, where did Ibn Abbas get it from? The teacher of the teachers, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the knowledge of our religion. It is clearly conveyed and transmitted. No confusion inside it. Ibn Abbas said, radiyallahu anhuma, bittu inda maymunata faqama an-nabiyyu sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bittu inda maymuna. I passed the night with Maimuna. Maimuna is Ibn Abbas's maternal aunt. Ibn Abbas's mother, Lubaba bintul Harith, is the younger sister of Maimuna, the Prophet's wife, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ikhwa, if you have connections, use it well. Ibn Abbas used that connection well. He was connected to the messenger from these two angles. From the angle of his mother, whose sister was the wife of the Prophet. From the angle of his father, Abbas, who was an uncle to the Prophet. So Abbas ibn Abbas's father was the uncle of the Prophet. And the age gap between them was about 2 or 3 years old. So that's why sometimes the Prophet will call him Abbas. They play like mates, Abbas and the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu salam. It went back to what I was mentioning yesterday. Brothers, get your children, arrange marriage. Look for a good man for your daughter. Look for a good girl for your son. And the way we pay attention, my son is now in part 4, he's in university, he's in Harvard. Pay attention to ensure that you get them married too. Because no part of life is waiting for the second part of life. One part of life is not waiting for the other one. And he does not have to be a BSc holder before he got married. Allah didn't say that. Prophet didn't say that. Why make it a condition? And if you want your children to become responsible early in life, get them married. Support them till you leave them. The way you support them in university. Some people have children in university, 21, 22, 23, they are still giving them money. The young girl will be going about, some boys will be playing with her emotions on WhatsApp now. Worse! There are preys playing with the emotion of young girls in university. Get your daughter to marry, the earlier the better. Likewise, your sons. There are some of us. If you have 5 boys and each of your 5 boys grow up matured and all the 5 boys marry 5 girls, we are still rich enough to take care of the 10 of them. We are comfortable enough to take care of the 10 of them. So why allow the small young boy to be suffering emotionally? The age when a boy needs a wife is the time you start seeing him sending messages to a girl. This one is matured enough. So don't let that start. Before you give him that lawful option. Ibn Abbas was a very, very young boy with the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. He had 2 connections from 2 angles. His father, who was the uncle of the Prophet, but like a friend to him. Because their ages were close. Abdullah, the father of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was a very elderly person compared to Abbas. So it meant that their own father, Abdul Muttalib, quickly gave birth to Abdullah. And he was still giving birth up to the time that you would find, and Abdullah also quickly gave birth to a child. So he has Muhammad, and his father too had Abbas. So 3 years after Abdul Muttalib had Abbas, Abdullah had Muhammad alayhi salam. If they didn't marry early, this one would not happen. Brothers, forget about stereotypes. It's unfortunate that when non-Muslims want you to drop the values of Islam, they say you are stereotypic. Meanwhile, in that too, they are also stereotyping you. So why don't I allow myself to be stereotyped by the values of my deen, Islam? If the stereotype, I accept stereotype about the Sunnah, I agree. Not a stereotype as a slave to any Western idea, strange, far away from the guidance of Islam. Ibn Abbas was a young boy. So he said, Bittu inda Maymuna, I slept in the house of my maternal aunt, radiallahu anha, my mother's elder sister. Her name was Maymuna. And it happened on the day that the Prophet was staying in her apartment, radiallahu anha. So when he's there, okay, this boy has come for something. He wants to see me. How do I conduct my night? In the report, it said that this Baituta, this sleeping in the house of Maymuna, the Prophet slept in the length of the bed. Ibn Abbas slept on the width of the bed. This riwaya, this hadith, Ibn Abbas, the Prophet slept on the length. Ibn Abbas folded himself on the width of the bed. I want to see what will happen today. And like I told us at the beginning, where Ibn Abbas was going, it was around the time of Maghrib. So he prayed Maghrib with the Prophet, he prayed Isha with the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet had known that this boy came to learn today. In fact, in the report, his father was telling him, make sure you learn well this night though, before you come. Let us know what the Prophet was doing in the night. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So he slept in the house of his own aunt, Maymuna. Radiallahu anha. Faqama an-nabi. So he was observing, how will the night be? In a report, he said, I didn't sleep throughout the night. I was only behaving as if I was sleeping. I didn't sleep. I was only, let me just behave as if me too, I have slept. Well, all was in was watching the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, Faqama, and he wants to start telling us what he saw. Faqama an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fa'ata hajatahu. The Prophet woke up. After we had all lied down in the bed, the Prophet woke up, alayhi salatu wasalam. He slept, he woke up. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fa'ata hajatahu. He went to ease himself, defecate, urinate, and all of this. Fa'ghasala wajhahu wa yadayhi. The Prophet washed his face, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa yadayhi. Then he washed his two hands. Don't forget, from the Sunnah, when we wake up, is to wash the two hands. Because we don't know where the hands were. The Prophet told us overnight. We didn't know what those hands, what had happened to them. So don't just wake up, put the hands in the water. No, wash the hand first. Then he washed his face. Because he would not have dipped the hand into the water to wash the face. No, he turned the water. This is according to the hadith of Uthman. I am bringing sometimes other reports to explain this. The Prophet, when he did that, he moved, he tilted the container a bit so that the water would pour on his. Then he was able to dip his hands into the bowl to collect the water with the two hands to wash its face. Alayhi salatu wasalam. They say this washing is the tanzeef, just to clean up himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What tanshit il dhikr. Then when he washed his face, the mind will be attentive. Sleep will gradually go away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from his face. So he said, radiallahu anhuma, faghasala wajhahu wa yadayhi. The Prophet washed his face and his hands. Thumma nama. Then he went back to sleep. ثم قام فأتى الكربة. ده يوقف again عليه الصلاة والسلام. فأتى الكربة. Then he went to the water container. This water container, الكربة. It's like a sack. It has a rope tied on its neck, but it's a skin, water skin. It has a rope at the lid, has a rope with which they hang it on the walls, perhaps on a nail or something. So the prophet went to the kirba for atlaqa shinaqaha. So he released the rope that tied the lid of that container. Atlaqa shinaqaha, the rope with which it was tied, the prophet released the rope. صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم توضأ وضوءا بين وضوءين. Then the prophet made wudu now, صلى الله عليه وسلم. Call it wudu and بين وضوءين. What does that mean? One wudu as if it is two, meaning he was washing each of the limbs once, but he washed them well, that you would think that the washings were how many times? Two times. Each of the limbs was once. Wudu and baina wudu ain means that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was washing the hand once, the mouth once, the nose once, he washed the face once, the arm once. But he did it so well that you would think that he did it how many times? Twice. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, lam yukthir. He did not wash the limbs many times, waqad ablaga, but he washed each of the limbs properly, very well. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at this young man describing the Prophet Muhammad's night. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was describing his night. Alayhi salatu wa sallam. Radiallahu anhum. Fasalla. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam observed salah. Let me quickly say from the beginning, all the reports regarding this night and the salah the Prophet observed, alayhi salatu salam, are 13 rak'ats. 13 rak'ats. From wherever you read the hadith, because this hadith occurs widely in the books of hadith. It occurs in Sahih Bukhari, it occurs in Sahih Muslim, it occurs in Sunan Abi Dawud, it occurs in Shama'il Muhammadiyah by Imam al-Tirmidhi, it also occurs in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, it occurs in the Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad. Well across the books of hadith, and the comments and explanation of the scholars are vast on it. So this hadith, the salah the Prophet observed overnight throughout the night were 13 rak'ats. The first two were very quick, rak'atani khafifatan. The second two were long. How many are those? Four. Then he observed 2, 2, 2. 2, 2, 2 means how many? 6 plus 4, 10. Cool. Two short ones, two brief ones, two long ones. Then 2, 2, 2 that were the same. That's how many? 10. Then 3 rak'ats as witr. It's 13. So these were the rak'ats the Prophet observed that night. I'm saying this so as we read on, we'll be able to picture what happened. So he observed two quick units of prayers, alayhi salatu wasalam. He went to sleep again. Then he woke up again, alayhi salatu wasalam. He observed two long ones, alayhi salatu wasalam. Then he went to rest again. Then he came up and observed 2, 2, 2. That's how many? 6 plus the first 2, 8 plus the second 2. That's 10. Then he now observed 3 units as witr. It's 13. So Ibn Abbas said, radiallahu anhuma, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after that wudu, lam yukthir, he was not extensive in the wudu, waqad ablaga, and the wudu was perfect, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fa sallah. Then he observed the salah. He said, radiallahu anhuma, fa kumtu. And I woke up, I stood up, فَتَمَطَّيْتُ كَرَاهِيَةَ أَنْ يَرَوْا أَنِّي كُنْتُ أَتَّقِيهِ. Said, and I stood up, فَتَمَطَّيْتُ I was lagging behind on the bed. Radiallahu anhu. He said, An yara anni kuntu attaqi. So that the Prophet would not see that I was watching him. Naba said, so I tarried on the bed. I didn't stand up as if I was awake watching him, seeing everything that he did. Because I don't know, I don't want him to see, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anni kuntu attaqi. I don't want him to note that I had been watching him. So this young boy, we are not sleeping. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another report, he said, kara hiyata an yara anni kuntu unaddihu lahu. I kuntu antabihu lahu. I don't want him to know that kuntu antabihu. I was paying attention to him. I was following everything he was doing. Look at this young boy, very brilliant, very intelligent. Radiallahu anhuma. He said, fatawaddu'tu. So I made wudu too. I didn't stand up grim. I stood up gradually. Radiallahu anhu. Aqama yusalli. So the Prophet began to observe salah. I had made wudu. Faqumtu inda yasarihi. Fa'akhadha bi'udhuni. فأدارني عن يمينه. When I made wudu, توضأت فقام يصلي. So the Prophet had stood up praying. صلى الله عليه وسلم. فقمت عند يساره. I went to stay on his left side. رضي الله عنهما. But أخذ بأذني. The Prophet took my ears. In some riwayat, he turned his hairs, he turned his ears. He should not have stayed here. He pricked his hairs, he turned his ears. He should not have stayed here. فَأَخَذَ بِأُذُنِي. He took my ears. فَأَدَارَنِي عَنْ يَمِينِهِ. And dragged me to his right side. This is evidence. Firstly, a lot of issues are here. But let me quickly run through his hadith before I come back to some of the points of benefit today. Inshallah, I hope that by the next class, we are coming back to this hadith again, because it is full of points of benefit. From the points of benefit in it is that we can observe Qiyamul Layl in Jama'ah inside our house, because this salah turned to become a salah in Jama'ah. From the points of benefit in it is that an elderly person can lead a young person as imam. From the points of benefit in it is that when we observe salah alone with the imam, we don't stay on the left side of the imam. We stay on the right hand side of the imam. The imam is the one who will be on our own left. If you follow the imam, observe the salah, you are alone, just the two of you. You want to join somebody, where do you join? The right hand side. If someone joins my left hand side, from the sunnah is to catch his ears and then drag him with, use his ears to hold him to my left side. I do that a lot with children. If I'm observing salah, they stay on the wrong place, I draw their ears. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam held the ears of Ibn Abbas in salah. It's also evident that there are simple actions we can perform in salah. Holding his ears is not part of salah, but the Prophet did it. It means actions like that are permissible in salah. You're observing salah with your son, he's not holding his hands. You can hold his hands and put it on the chest. He's making the ruku before you. You can stop him. Don't go before me. So you can perform an action that's not part of salah to guide the salah of another person in salat with you. You can perform an action that's not part of the salah to guide someone who is on the salat with you. It does not disrupt his own salah. It does not also disrupt your own salah. From the benefits in this hadith is that staying in the wrong place when you already started the salah does not vitiate your salah. Ibn Abbas was on the wrong place when he started the salah. He did not need to start the salah all over again when he got to the place where he was rightly supposed to stay. They mentioned a lot of benefits regarding this. This hadith deserves a book. And I'm going to look for it, Bismillah. I'm sure the scholars would have written specific books regarding this hadith, but it has a lot of benefits inside it. Rahimahumullah. So Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, فَقُمْتُ عِنْدَ يَسَارِهِ. I was staying on the left side of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. فَأَخَذَ بِأُذُنِي. So the Prophet held my ears. فَأَدَارَنِي أَنْ يَمِينِهِ. So he took me. أَدَارَنِي. He took me to his yameen, his right side. فَتَتَامَّتْ صَلَاتُهُ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ. 13 rak'atan tatamat salatuhu min al-layl. That night, that al-layl, tatamat, the salah continued and continued and became completed as what? How many rak'ats? 13 rak'atan. So the Prophet that night observed 13 rak'ats. Don't forget, the first two are two quick units of prayer. After them, he went back to sleep. Then he started two sets of long one, then three that were like shorter than those ones. Ikhwa, we come back to another big issue. How many rak'ats? What is the maximum number of rak'ats we can observe in Qiyamul Layl? Ikhwa, I don't exceed 13. And I believe that's the right thing if you say 13, otherwise they are 11 in number. The first two that he made are rak'atan khafifatan, two quick units of prayer. They are not usually calculated as part of Qiyamul Layl. You want to start Qiyamul Layl, quickly observe two quick units of prayer, then you observe your Qiyamul Layl. So two quick units of prayer, if you add it to it, it will be 13. If you remove it from it, Qiyamul Layl will be what? 11 rak'ats. That was why Aisha, again, told us that the Prophet never exceeded 11, in some reports 13. Whether in Ramadan or outside Ramadan. The hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. She said, radiallahu anha, the Prophet would not exceed 13. In report, he said 11. If she said 13, we understand what she means. If she said 11, we understand what she means. We know where we all fall short regarding this. In Ramadan, the Prophet would not exceed 11. If you add the first two to it, 13. Outside Ramadan, he will not exceed 13 if you add the first two, either 11 or 13. I usually accept 13. But beyond 13, there's no proof for it. The Prophet is A'badu Khalkillah. So scholars will now come to big issues amongst the ulama. That is Qiyamul Layl a salat that the units are restricted, or it's a salat that the units are not restricted because of that hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, that Salatul Layli Masna Masna. The late night prayer is 2-2-2. The other side, the scholars will say, what it means is that 2-2-2-13, as is in this hadith of Ibn Abbas, first 2, second 2, third 2, fourth 2, fifth 2, like that. That it does not mean 2-2-2 endlessly. So it's 2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2 until you bring witr. To make it odd, not that 2-2-2-2-2-2-2, because masna linguistically can be interpreted to mean 2-2-2, observe 2. And in that hadith of Ibn Umar again, it says, until either of you notices that the day would dawn was coming, then you should make with him. So they say it means observe 2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2 until dawn is approaching. So the ulama say, no, that's not what that hadith means. It's only telling us the how to observe Witr Qiyamul Layl. The way to do is do 2 and 2 and 2 and 2. But Aisha told us, the Prophet would not exceed 11, or in other reports, 13. So this is what Ibn Abbas too is reporting. And that difference between can we go beyond 13, can we not go beyond 13, was old. Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi in Shama'il al-Nabi, he brought a hadith where people came to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, come, you spent night with the Prophet. How many rak'at did the Prophet say? He did not exceed 13. Ikhwa, do you think Ibn Abbas will exceed 13? Do you think Ibn Abbas were exiting? When he said that to them, he now said, hey, come. There's another woman who should know his late night prayer. Ibn Abbas took those tabi'un to who? Aisha. Hey, Aisha. How was the prophet? How many rak'ahs did he used to observe in the late night? That was when Aisha radiallahu anha now told us that he would observe 11. He would not exceed 11. Alayhi salatu salam. In some reports, 13. If she said 13, we know what she meant. Those first 2 minutes of prayers. So this hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas is very instructive regarding how many rak'ahs we should. Don't forget, that was what he came to the house to learn. If it were more than that, he would have observed more than that. Alayhi salatu wasalam. We can always come back to these issues. He said, radiyallahu anhu fatatamat salatuhu min al-layli 13 rak'atan. So that night his salah completed 13. That night. Thumma dutaja'a fanama hatta nafakha. And the Prophet lied down again, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fanam, he slept, alayhi salatu wasalam, hatta so deeply that nafakha, he was breathing heavily, alayhi salatu wasalam. When someone is breathing heavily, it will even make a sound. And that is because of tiredness. And you know how the Prophet's activities would be during daytime. Even we that are little children these days, when we go about, come back, how are we in the night? Really exhausted, tired, worn out. How about Rasulullah? So you should expect that he will breathe, and his breath in the night will be what? Heavy. Don't forget, that same night, how many times did he wake up to observe Salah? Twice. So if the sleep came, it will be deep. It will be a sleep that he will be breathing heavily. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa kana basharan mithlana. And he was a human being like the rest of us. Alayhi salatu salam. He said, kul innama ana basharun mithlukum. So don't say, how will the Prophet have heavy breath when he slept? Say, who is bashar like you? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد ابن عباس وكان إذا نام نفخ. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he slept, he had heavy breaths. فَآذَنَهُ بِلَالٌ بِالصَّلَاةِ. Ikhwa, there is another sunnah here. I'm sure many of us don't follow. After your qiyamul layl, find some sleep before Fajr. Go back to bed. Even if it's 10, 15 minutes. Ikhwa, I always do this a lot. Sorry that I have to say it. I enjoy it so much. That 15, 20 minutes between witr and Fajr. The sleep is usually deep. And if you watch it well, you always have a dream. And the dream usually will be something that will be suitable for you. You'll be gladdened when you wake up for Fajr. You always have a dream. Because the period, ulama call it waqtu nuzul ilahiya, is the period, last third part of the night. There is no shaitan in the heaven who will come and harass you with any evil in your dream. You will always find good dreams. And from the sunnah of dreams is to beg Allah, show me something sweet. So say that in your qiyamul layl and go back to bed. You wake up glad. You wake up glad. As if you are destroying, you have removed every barrier between you and getting goodness, messages of goodness from your Lord. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Bilal came. And then he woke him up. فَصَلَّى. Then he went for Salatul Fajri. وَلَمْ يَتَوَضَّعْ. The Prophet did not repeat another wudu. This is evidence that sleep does not necessarily break wudu. Sleep does not necessarily break wudu. Sleep breaks wudu when we sleep so deeply that we can't even know whether we had broken the wind or not. But the Prophet's sleep, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is a sleep of consciousness. But the ulama say this is evident that the sleep itself does not necessarily break wudu. Don't forget, in that sleep, the Prophet was breathing heavily. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's not just a sleep. وَكَانَ فِي دُعَائِهِ وَلَمْ يَتَوَى. The Prophet did not make wudu. وَكَانَ فِي دُعَائِهِ. From the things of dua, the Prophet said that night. From the dua, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam. And that is a point of reference why this hadith came here. Because this is the chapter about da'wah to Nabi, alayhi salatu wasalam. The chapter about the supplications of the Prophet. If what I beg us in Allah's name, let's just read this dua. We come back to explain it in the next class because the time is already fast spent. I just looked at the time now. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say, Allahumma ja'al fi qalbi nura wa fi sam'i nura wa an yamini nura wa an yasari nura wa fawki nura wa tahti nura wa amami nura wa khalfi nura wa a'zim li nura. Ikhwa, I like us to stop here today. Bismillah, we'll come back to class to explain this dua and other things connected to this hadith, inshallah. Abu Abdurrahman. Abu Abdurrahman, are you there? Abu Abdurrahman, Abu Amir, are you there? Can we hear me, Ikhwa? Can we hear me?
No, yeah, Shaitan, no, we can't hear you.
Okay. Abu Yusuf, Amin, Iyakum. Do we have questions, or we should leave the entirety of the questions to the next class when we complete the hadith?
No, Yashikan, I can't find any question in the chat.
We come back to class next week, bi-idhnillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu fiikum, Yashikan.
Barakallahu.